for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
This seems, Mech, to be the worst kind of racial stereotype. Let me finish.
Yeah.
Racial stereotyping. Black congressman, majority black district. I mean, no human being would want to live there. Is he saying people that live in Baltimore are not human beings?
There is a massive crisis on our border that the Democrats are well aware of.
We cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Americans are right to demand better border security and better enforcement of the immigration laws.
While we need to address the issue of immigration and the challenge we have of undocumented people in our country, we certainly don't want any more coming in.
Yet the current president of the United States called out a ranking millionaire member of Congress for his lording over his own district after Representative Elijah Cummings blamed the executive office for the crisis on the border.
You're doing a great job. I guess you feel like you're doing a great job, right? Is that what you're saying?
We're doing our level best in a very challenging.
What does that mean? What does that mean when a child is sitting in their own feces, can't take a shower? Come on, man. What's that about? None of us would have our children in that position.
Meanwhile, impeachment bully U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings and the media cry racism after President Trump tweeted, "As proven last week during a congressional tour, the border is clean, efficient, and well-run, just very crowded. Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place."
No human being would want to live there. Infested. That's usually reserved for references to rodents and insects, but we've seen the president invoke infestation to criticize lawmakers before. You see a pattern here? He's insulted thousands of people, many different types of people. But when he tweets about infestation, it's about black and brown people. The president says about Congressman Cummings' district that no human would want to live there. You know who did, Mr. President? I did. From the day I was brought home from the hospital to the day I left for college. And a lot of people I care about still do. There are challenges, no doubt. But people are proud of their community. I don't want to sound self-righteous.
The president actually responded to last time. And what he said was definitely true. The house, as far as the house and everything, like I said, he has never done anything for not even one person that I know of. I never heard anybody say anything about him. And people want to talk about Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. Why is this man over there taking care of people at the border? We hungry. We need a place to stay. We feel like we're in a concentration camp. And it's just sad. He worried about more about them than his own people.
Cummings responded with, "Mr. President, I go home to my district daily, each morning. I wake up and I go and fight for my neighbors." But does he? There is no question that the area of Baltimore President Trump is referencing is rat-infested. In fact, it's so bad that Animal Planet ranked Baltimore as one of the worst rat-infested cities in the world, reporting, "Baltimore's rat problem is bad enough that at one point, rats tunneled so intensely beneath a particular area of pavement that when garbage collectors drove over it, their truck sunk up to its axles. Rats in the vicinity took full advantage of the mishap and swarmed the truck, gorging on the garbage inside." Bernie Sanders, flanked by Baltimore city leaders, wasn't called a racist when he likened Baltimore to a third world country.
"The fact of the matter is that America is the wealthiest country in the history of the world. But anyone who took the walk that we took, around this neighborhood would not think you're in a wealthy nation. You would think that you were in a third world country."
Look at West Baltimore. This is Cummings District. Look at the row houses. Look at the dilapidated building. Look at the rats. Now, that's true in those neighborhoods, in those parts of West Baltimore.
And Ryan Silter recognizes some of those rats because they're his cousins. They used to hang out as kids. All right, you can see the full John Bowne report at Infowars.com, ladies and gentlemen. is the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. I am your host, Owen Schroyer, here with you for the next 3 hours. Do we have Democrat congressmen and women about to make a big scene, a big sobbing scene about what is happening in Central America and how, well, not even, see, because I was going to say that in the show title, Democrats catering to Central Americans instead of actual American citizens, but even that's not accurate because they're coming from Asia, they're coming from Africa, they're coming from all over the world. So, yes, is it sad that you have impoverished, diseased people with no other prospects than to take a life-risking journey to come to the United States of America at hopes of a better future? But does that mean we then ignore the plight of American citizens? We ignore the dire straits that inner cities of America are in? Now, the solution is not to go down to the southern border and make a big fuss and make a big scene, or go to some empty parking lot and do a photo opportunity where you pretend to be crying, or have a Democrat debate clown show like is coming up tomorrow and Wednesday evening. We'll be covering it at Infowars.com/show, where you make it a political football to try to get elected. But that's what the Democrats have turned it into. And so there's no real solutions being offered here. There's no solutions to the problem. Nobody's trying to say, hey, how can we fix this? Hey, what's the best way to go about this? No, it's just virtue signal and then blame. Virtue signal and then blame. Never a solution. But the frustrating thing, as we try to sort all this out, is we're being told Trump did this. You did this. This is your fault. This is your policy. And it's just simply untrue. So the very premise of the Democrats going down there and making some show of politics down at the southern border, it's not even justified because they never complained about it before. Obama built those quote-unquote cages and everything that you want to hear about. And you can go back even 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you can hear Democrats saying, we have to secure the border, we have to deport illegals, we have to do this, we have to do that, the immigration is out of control. And so there's all of these different issues, and we sit here and we watch them make a spectacle of it, and we're just saying, look, Americans need help too. There was the viral video of the lady in Baltimore after Elijah Cummings does his outburst on the floor, where she's saying, hey, we're starving in Baltimore. We need shelter. We need food and water. We've got children. Doesn't matter. Because they, the Democrats, think that they already have your vote. And so that's the big tide that is really changing right now, like a new political moon, is that people in inner cities and black people or Hispanic people or what have you, they aren't voting Democrat anymore. And so social media and television media and all of this propaganda media, all this establishment media is trying to continue this notion that, oh, if you're black, you have to vote Democrat, or, oh, if you're Hispanic, you have to vote Democrat. It's not happening. And so the Democrats know this in their own real observations. They put out the fake polls. That's just part of their political game to con the American people. But so what do you do about 13 shot, 6 killed in Baltimore over the weekend? What do you do about 11 fires in Baltimore's Edmondson Village? What do you do about 9 killed, 39 wounded in weekend shootings in Chicago? Those are just a couple stories from inner cities in this country. But what do we have? Democrats are flaunting how they're going down to the border in record numbers. I think it's 20 of them. Let me go through my stack of news here. I'll find it. Oh, yeah, by the way, police officers are being shot and killed across the country, too. They ignore that. We're going to get to all of this, folks. But when you have Democrats bragging about how they're going to go down to the southern border, do a photo op, oh, we feel so bad for the plight of these non-citizens. Well, what about the plight of American citizens? How do you weigh exactly who is more important? After all, who's paying the taxes? Who's paying your salary? I don't know where the story is in my stack here, but I'm sure it'll turn up eventually. Here we go. Two dozen House Democrats to head to the border this week. A group of over 20 House Democrats will visit the U.S.-Mexico border on Thursday and Friday, making it the largest site visit yet by members of Congress to El Paso. Oh, okay. Again, though, what about Baltimore? What about Chicago? What about all the inner cities of America where now they're talking about in St. Louis just demolishing? And, you know, this might actually be a good plan. Just demolishing all the abandoned warehouses and buildings where, you know, you used to have production and manufacturing. They sent all those overseas as the Democrats are running the inner cities. That's how that goes. See, so now they don't know what to do with them. They're abandoned. They're falling apart. Do you just tear them down and try to revitalize? What do you do? Well, I don't know, because our politicians are down at the southern border playing politics and offering no solutions. Here's a solution. Again, you don't, it's like, do we even look at the budget anymore? Do we even look at the spending anymore? We just signed a record spending deal. Congress agrees to a new debt ceiling. And most of it goes to the military, which is, okay, fine. We're supporting our military. It got depleted. It got dilapidated, whatever. Russia's a threat. China's a threat. Iran's a threat. Everybody's a threat. But all the money spent overseas, we build bridges in the Middle East. We build walls in the Middle East. We still don't have a wall at our southern border. But you see, it's all about the optics. It's all about the politics of Democrats going down to the southern border, making it a virtue signaling case, making a photo op saying, oh, look, we care. We care about the lesser fortunate. But they ignore their own voting base. They ignore their own constituency. They ignore the American people that are in dire straits as well. And they never offer a solution. They never go into the budget and say, here's what we can do. Here's what we can't do. Here's where we're spending a bunch of money. Here's where we're not. Here's all of these line items that are going right into our friends and family's pockets. Oh, yeah. Here's some of that. Here's some of that record spending for you to get a wall. Well, we still don't have a wall. Here's some of that record spending for what? Our roads are atrocious. Our infrastructure's falling apart. The inner cities, you don't even want to go in anymore, most of them. But don't worry, because the Democrats are going to the southern border to make sure they can take advantage of Central Americans' tears and Central Americans' plight to try to get into office in America. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. This is the Democrat clown world that they want to bring to this country. They're going to have their clown debates the next two nights. We'll be covering them. It's a circus act.
Infowars.com/show.
You know, sometimes I'm on air 3 hours and I feel like I barely got anything out coherently. Some days you feel really effective, and other days the crew is like, hey, that was a good segment. What's the title for that? And it's, what do you even call that? Democrats, because I want to be sarcastic and say, breaking, Democrats finally to address American inner cities. Of course, we all know that's not happening.
But you see, that's the joke, is that they're going to address non-citizens. Again, this isn't even about whether we're callous towards the misfortunes of other people. It's that we have our own government that's way too big, and now it's being used to help non-citizens that aren't paying taxes and didn't vote. It's just nonsensical more than anything. But what do you even call that? Because they're going to make a huge deal of it. You watch. And they've probably got the whole thing decided. Okay, we're going to go to this exact place because it looks really bad. And they'll do the whole zoo animal treatment where they go to the facility and they're staring at them through the fence like, oh, look at that one. Yes. Mmm. And it's like a room full of military-aged men. But again, it's nonsensical. And then they say, oh, America sucks. America was never that great. As people are literally risking their lives to come here. It's just a nonsensical clown world that the Democrats are trying to get us to fall for, get us to be trapped in. All right, now, I didn't even mention Leo Zagami is going to be coming up in the second hour. We may keep him for a whole hour. We'll see, but we had that story about the bones under the Vatican City. So now the Vatican is just ordering, yeah, you're just not going to look into those bones. Oh, okay. So they just wave the magic hand and say, sorry, these are our secret bones. Well, we were going to, you know, investigate this. We're searching for this missing girl. You know, it was around this area. You can't investigate these bones. Well, huh, that's funny because actually there's been a couple people gone missing from the Vatican City. So maybe, no, not these bones, though. Hey, why was that, it was a tomb. There were a bunch of tombs that they exhumed. No bones in them. So Leo Zagami will be talking about that when he joins us. But again, I'm laughing, but like crying that the Democrats are continuing with this whole we're going to put non-American citizens above the American voter notion as it's just, I guess what is astounding to me about this is that somehow, somewhere, somebody is measuring this as a winning strategy. Somebody inside the Democrat Party is saying, let's keep working for non-citizens. Let's keep working for that non-American vote. Let's keep putting the non-American citizen ahead of the American. And let's flaunt it. Because again, you can look at the, if you look at an electoral map, inner cities are blue, and then the rest of the country is red. If the Democrats lose the stranglehold on the inner city, they're done with. And they never do anything for the inner city. So they're here flaunting, we're going to the southern border. We're gonna show you that we care about these poor people. We're going to show you that we care about these people coming here illegally. We're going to show you that we care about brown people and black people. And then meanwhile, brown people and black people, again, and this is just the Democrat race card that they try to play to dominate an inner city vote. But then Americans in inner cities that just happen to be black or brown are saying, well, wait a second. I've been living in this American inner city, say Baltimore, for decades, and you haven't done jack crap. In fact, think about this. The average congressman never even goes back to their original city. And then you have Elijah Cummings saying, I forget where the story is. I'm pretty sure I printed this one too. I may not have saying, oh, well, I go back to Baltimore all the time. And then somebody looked into it and there's no proof of it at all. So I don't know if he's ever doing that or not. But where's the events? Where's Elijah Cummings helping Baltimore? Where's Elijah Cummings making a big photo op in Baltimore, a rat-infested, crime-infested asshole? No, it's all about going to the southern border to virtue signal in your face. But again, who did this political measurement saying, we're going to flaunt it in front of our voters, inner city America, which most are being devastated, abandoned warehouses, abandoned manufacturing plants, whole areas that used to be production zones, gone. You can't build anything in many major cities anymore, unless you're in the tech industry. But it doesn't matter, because they're going to the southern border and they're going to show you that they're going to put non-Americans first, and they're going to tell you that you're going to pay for everything. You're going to pay for their health care. You can't even afford your own health care. You can't afford to send your kid to a private school. But don't worry, because the Democrats are going to go to the southern border and they're going to make sure that anyone from any country, literally they're saying this now, you will pay for their health care forever. You will pay for their schooling forever. You will pay for their meals forever. And then Marianne Williamson is going to have a cult-like seance where every white American apologizes for world history. It doesn't even matter that white people are like, what, European Caucasian people are like maybe 15% of the world's population. In 20 years in America, will actually be a minority to Hispanic people. No, it doesn't matter. It's that old white guilt. And it doesn't matter, again, that the inner cities are suffering from crime and violence, because there's no political points to be won there. The Democrats think they own those votes. The Democrats think they own those votes. Oh, but now they don't, so they're using big tech to suppress it and pretend like they still are, and then bring in a brand new voter block of non-citizens across the southern border illegally. This is their effort to dominate elections. I just don't see how anybody thinks that's a winning strategy unless you're planning to cheat, which, as we know, the Democrats do. Now, this is just one issue that's being highlighted right now that's important because it affects the average American in an inner city or in a major city. I mean, heck, even if you're a wealthy person in a major city, you're still driving on the crappy roads that they can't replace. I mean, hell, I'm looking around here in Austin, Texas, and I got to wonder, is the person that's ahead, the head of the infrastructure here with the highways and the road systems, are they on drugs? And I know it's like this in every city. I mean, so you don't get a nice road. You get bums and drug addicts on the streets harassing you. You don't get anything. Your education keeps getting worse. Buildings keep getting abandoned and torn down and just become rubble and wreckage. But don't worry, because the Democrats are so happy. A record number of Democrats are going to the southern border, folks. That's what's going to save America. That's what's going to help Americans. That's what's going to stop all the shipping and manufacturing and production and everything to come back to America. That's it. Going and addressing non-Americans.
War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, so I think I've pretty much hammered the issue of Democrats ignoring the problems of Americans for non-Americans. Why? Because they think they're going to get their votes, I guess maybe in the next election or in 10 elections from now. But that's what the Democrats are doing. It's no secret. Everybody sees it. So I want to put that behind me before I'm about to be joined by Leo Zagami. But I don't want to forget where we left off last week, because it's really still the biggest story. You've got Jeffrey Epstein in jail. Where was the story out of today? Jeffrey Epstein's life in jeopardy as powerful pals don't want their secrets out, victim's lawyer claims. This is from The Sun. And yeah. Now look, I don't know the deal with this guy, because honestly, this whole thing has been so crazy. Everything is so crazy these days. And you don't want to jump You don't want to jump on every rock on the surface of the lava because, you know, sometimes the rock falls out. But the guy that's in the cell with Epstein was running a drug ring, and, I mean, he's like this big roid head, and it's very strange. Of course, you know that people do want Epstein dead. They don't want his little black book getting out. Maybe they're afraid that he'll cooperate. You've got the Nixivim investigation going on right now. And so this is the big story. You've got people investigating the Clintons, shooting themselves on dance floors. The Clinton body count continues. And now people go back and they look at Epstein's life. He was Cosmo's Bachelor of the Month in 1980. The golden dome on his temple is off. There's all kinds of rumors about that. And so that's where we left this off. And that's really the biggest thing going right now. And I was reading some of the story on Epstein and some of the other stuff today. And I'm reading this. Oh, yeah. And you've got Nader now arrested again for trying to traffic a child for sex. And I'm sitting here as I'm reading all this, and it just like hit me again. And I'm like, wait a second. We're sitting here talking about pedophiles, sex trafficking, and we're out here on some sort of a limb as part of the media? Because you can look at the entire newscape. Nobody talks about it. And just like literal child rape rings, literal pedophile rings operating, and these sex rings, and we've got like the top guys in jail right now being investigated. You got other affiliates being arrested for trafficking children. You've got Clinton affiliates being arrested at the border of Haiti with undocumented children. I mean, you've got all of this going on. And it's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess mum's the word on that. No, I don't think so. I think that there's something big happening here. I think this is the big story, actually. Now, look. Honestly, the dam is about to break on Epstein. The dam is about to break on Ranieri. The dam is about to break on Obama and Comey and all the crimes they engaged in. I mean, the dam is about to break on all these things. The fake Russian collusion origins. And really, of course, we're all sitting here knowing all Trump has to do is pull the lever and the floodgates are open. But then what is Trump thinking? What do you do if you're the leader of America and you know you've got news that everybody needs to know, but if you release it, it could devastate society? Yeah, that goes for Obama. Yeah, that goes for Clinton. Yeah, that goes for Epstein. It goes for all of them. It goes for all of them. Now, Epstein may be a different deal. Most people have no idea who he is. It's his affiliates. But, man, you want to talk about devastating society, folks? The media had people so brainwashed into worshiping the Obamas. Let's say the worst is true about them. Let's just say the worst is true about Obama and Michelle, and Barack was actually born in Kenya and married Michael Obama, who was a transsexual male. That'd be the worst. The least of what we know Obama did was he spied illegally on the American people. And he tried to do everything he could with his fellow deep state operatives and Hillary Clinton to keep Trump out of office. That's the least of what we know he did. The least. Now, look, I've been on air here. I haven't even paid the bills. And so here's what I want to remind you. The only way we're able to do extended coverage is when you go to InfoWarsStore.com and buy the great supplements like DNA Force Plus that's 50% off, like Super Male Vitality that's 50% off, like the InfoWars Life protein bars that are 40% off, like the InfoWars Life select storable foods that are 50% off. In fact, people were asking me about the storable foods, saying, hey, what do you know about those storable foods compared to other stuff? And I said, look, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. I've never gone out and shopped storable foods before. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I don't know about other storable foods. What I'm going to tell you is what I do know. Alex Jones and the people at InfoWars Life already went out and did the research. They already went out and found what the best storable foods are. They already went out and found what the best prices are, what the best containers are, everything. They already did all that work. And what they found was that the InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods is the nexus point of quality and price. Now, this isn't the average storable food, the InfoWars Life Select Storable Food, that is, that you just get and it's there for some substance and to sustain you. No, this is like gourmet meals that you're going to look forward to and enjoy. That's the difference between the InfoWars Life Select Storable Foods and the average storable food out there. 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, those are just some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. I was excited to announce this, and I'm giving you this special early because we already had a special going for July, but I wanted to get this new special for the War Room audience going early. With coupon code War Room at checkout, you can get an additional 15% off. 15% off any ProPure shower filter at InfoWarsStore.com. So we've got a bunch of different options. I think we've got four or five different options for the shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com. I would go with the ProPure Chrome Plus shower filter. That's the one I just installed a couple weekends ago at my house, and I was so thrilled. I was so happy with it. I was so excited about it. I told the people that run the website, hey, I want a coupon code for the shower filters. And they said, well, you got the special going over here already for July. I said, I don't care. Pull it. Let's do this for the rest of July and August. So for the rest of July, which is just a couple more days, and then the month of August, coupon code WARROOM is good for 15% off any ProPure shower filter. So there are a few different options there. I'd go with the one that has the extendable hose. Again, you're going to love the water pressure. The price is cheaper than you're going to find for any other filtered shower head. But it's at InfoWarsStore.com. Read the reviews for yourself. But I'm giving you the review. The water pressure, it blew my mind. I thought I would lose a little water pressure. I somehow gained water pressure when I put on the ProPure filter. So plus it's got that extendable hose. They don't let Epstein use those in prison, if you know what I'm saying. All right, when we come back, I'll get into some of these headlines. Just knock some of these headlines out, and then Leo Zagami joins us. Don't go anywhere.
War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
All right, I do have an announcement I need to make here. Yes. We do have big specials at InfoWarsStore.com right now. 50% off top-selling supplements like DNA Force Plus and Super Male Vitality. Yes, I am excited to be a part of the Clown World Part 2 Spectacular coming up tomorrow night and Wednesday evening. At InfoWars.com/show, we'll be having extended coverage, and we will be broadcasting live straight on through at InfoWars.com/show or clownworld.us. Meet America's Real Enemies, Clown World Part 2, the Democrat debates in Detroit, where we will probably see the similar things we saw at the first debates, a bunch of free stuff, no solutions, and really weak turnout. Will anybody show up to cheer on their candidates at this debate, or will they once again prove that all their polls are fake? Nobody is beating Donald Trump. Also, I have just announced on the infocoms, and I'm glad to announce here, we are going to do a flag wave on Sunday, November 10th. Now, I thought about organizing something sooner than this, but the summer is really hot. I don't want to have people standing out all day in the summer sweating. So we're going to do this Sunday, November 10th. Now, this is the Sunday before Veterans Day, which is that Monday. I'm working with a local veterans group that I've been working with here for a few years now. And so at 10 a.m., Sunday, November 10th, we're going to go to the Austin, Texas, the Texas State Cemetery here, like we have been doing traditionally. In fact, really, I started this tradition last year on the same Sunday. So this is kind of cool now, second annual, if you will, Veterans Day flag lay and flag wave. Last year, we did a Planned Parenthood protest. This year, we're going to do a flag wave. So show up at 10 a.m. at the Texas State Cemetery if you can, and we'll have thousands of flags that we're going to be putting on the memorials of the veterans in the Texas State Cemetery. And then after that, at noon, we're going to go to a highly populated bridge here in Austin, Texas. I'll announce that location later, but it will be in the downtown area, a popular bridge location here in Austin. And what I'm encouraging people to do is to bring out American flags, Trump flags, Betsy Ross flags, Don't Tread on Me flags, and wave those, because those are symbols that are being demonized right now. And, you know, I just think about it. It's like energizing your team. If you're a big football fan and you got a big football game coming up, and let's say you're driving into town, you're coming into Austin, Texas from Dallas, and you're a Texas Longhorns fan, and you're driving up the road, and you see a bunch of people waving the burnt orange Longhorns logo and UT flags, that energizes you. That's like, yeah, let's go Longhorns, go Texas. Well, why don't we do that same thing for America? Why don't we energize people to love America, to have pride in America? So that's what this is all about on Veterans Day weekend. So yes, you've got some time. If you want to come out and organize, and we usually have a big group that comes out. We do lunch slash dinner afterwards as well. And we get to know one another. It's been great to get to know a lot of you people that come out to these events, part of you with the InfoWars Army and then other veterans groups. So again, Sunday, November 10th at 10 a.m., we're doing a flag lay at the Texas State Cemetery. And then at noon, an InfoWars Army event, a flag wave at a popular bridge here in downtown Austin, Texas. So that is coming up in November. Now, let me go through some of these headlines. I have not even gone through my video list today, so I don't even know what we've got on there. So let me just go through some of these headlines. Okay, again, you've got the story in The Sun and other outlets picking it up. Jeffrey Epstein's life in jeopardy as powerful pals don't want their secrets out. Yes, very powerful pals indeed. Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, imagine running. I mean, seriously, folks, like, come on. I don't even want to get into it, but it's just like we're talking about sex trafficking. We're talking about child sex trafficking. And we're talking about at the very highest levels of power and influence. Jeffrey Epstein and the doomed dome, Pedophile Island's mysterious temple has lost its golden dome. When Epstein was Cosmo's Bachelor of the Month in July 1980. Very strange stuff. You've got Pete Buttigieg's brother-in-law, Rips candidate, accuses campaign of misrepresenting family's past. My producer, Savannah Hernandez, handed this story to me and said that he wants to come on Ryan Glesman, is that his name? So we're reaching out to him, and we'll see if we can't get to the bottom of this story right now that's on Fox News. And then you also have, since we're on that clown world, you also have the Black Socialists of America. Guys, for some reason it didn't print this image out. But on Twitter, the Black Socialists of America put out a tweet of Kamala Harris. This is classic. Kamala Harris in police uniform arresting a young girl. Yeah, because she was well known as one of the most ruthless prosecuting attorneys when she was in California. And so the Black Socialists of America put this image out. Guys, let's try to find that. It's really funny. Kamala Harris wearing a police uniform and arresting a young black girl. What are the Democrats going to do? Because you've got all these different in-groups of the Democrat Party. Like I said, the Democrats have marginalized themselves into oblivion here, but all these different in-groups, some don't like Kamala, some don't like Buttigieg, some don't like Biden, some the establishment doesn't like Gabbard. So it's all of this, like, just weird in-groups. Can they ever come together on a candidate once all the candidates' in-groups have just destroyed one another in the meme war, in the culture war? But, guys, that wasn't even the image. I really want to show this image. So let's see if we can find this. It's Kamala Harris. You guys found, like, another meme. Yeah, there it is right there. Kamala Harris in a cop uniform arresting a young black girl, laughing about it, and then the Blue Lives Matter. So it's actually kind of ironic. And then it's like, so, but that's the thing. They'll demonize Kamala Harris like, oh, she was a ruthless prosecuting attorney. She had a lot of black people arrested. And it's just true. And then they use that in the meme war. And so let's say Kamala Harris gets a nod. Well, you've already done that damage. But if you look at the issue now, which, I mean, I don't understand Elijah Cummings, but he has this crazy tirade in Congress about how Trump is racist and all this stuff. And then Trump is just like, hey, Elijah, you're from Baltimore. Look at what's been happening in your district. Do you even know this is going on? Of course he doesn't know this is going on. This, again, makes you realize that it's like once you get elected, like how often is Ocasio-Cortez in the place that she comes from, in the district that elected her? Never. She's always in D.C. doing cameos and interviews and faking photo shoots. How often is Elijah Cummings really in Baltimore? Well, he claims he's there every day. Nobody's found any evidence of that. How often is Maxine Waters in California? How often is Kamala Harris in California? How often is Nancy Pelosi in California? They're in D.C. They're on television. Is Elijah Cummings' head the shape of a milk dud? I don't know. We're doing the measurements right now. So, in fact, no, because see, now it's racist if you go to the movie and you order milk duds because you're now eating Elijah Cummings' head. So if you go to the movie theater and you order milk duds, that because it's shaped like Elijah Cummings' head, you're in trouble for that. Baltimore mayor agreed with Trump last year, caught on camera complaining about rats. That's just wrong. That's just wrong, man. Violent weekend. 13 shot, 6 killed in Baltimore since Friday. Authorities investigating 11 fires overnight in Baltimore's Edmondson Village. So there's everything that's happening in Baltimore, but Elijah Cummings says, Trump is a racist! Do you notice how Elijah Cummings has a walker now, too? What's up with that? 9 killed, 39 wounded. Weekend shootings across Chicago. Gun-free zone. Thanks, Democrats. But the Democrats are nowhere to be found. They're on TV. They're in Washington, D.C. They're down at the southern border. They don't know what the hell's going on.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Matty Roberts of Bakersfield, California claims he is the creator of the satirical Facebook page that has called on people to storm Area 51 in rural Nevada on September 20th, 2019.
I think that's going to be a big crowd. I mean, it's not going to be 1.3 million, but I think it's going to be a lot of people are going to show up because people are, they're ticked off about secrecy on this topic.
Yeah, and I think even if just a few people show up, just with the amount of attention that the post has gotten, it kind of, I think it makes a cool statement that, like, hey, we want to know what's going on in there. is people want to know.
Well, it could be amazing. What you started here as sort of a joke could actually have a major impact in the big picture.
That is what I'm hoping. I hope it turns into something really cool rather than just like a suicide mission that started from a joke, because I don't want that at all. But I think we could make some really cool stuff happen with it.
Since the page posted on June 27th, 1.6 million people have RSVP'd the invasion, while another 1.2 million are interested. Roberts posted, "If we Naruto run, we can move faster than their bullets. Let's see them, aliens." The mystery surrounding the crash landing of a reported UFO near Roswell, New Mexico, has turned the small town into an international destination, while Area 51 is no different. People travel just 83 miles north of Las Vegas on the extraterrestrial highway to the outskirts of the USAF testing facility in droves, hoping to witness the flight of reverse-engineered UFO aircraft, supposedly commissioned by the Majestic 12 organization, a secret group of scientists, military leaders, and government officials, allegedly formed in 1947 by an executive order signed by U.S. President Harry S. Truman to facilitate recovery and investigation of alien spacecraft after the recovery of the UFO at Roswell. But what about all of the other secret facilities that nobody talks about, like the supposed seven-story deep underground military base in Dulce, New Mexico? The late engineer Philip Schneider made some bold claims about alien activity in that remote area.
All information dealing with alien or alien reproduced technology or alien reproduced vehicles or any other kinds of things well hidden from the American public. Our black budget, for instance, garners $1.023 trillion every 2 years. It's over $500 billion a year. Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide.
Or the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, where Project Blue Book and Project Grudge took place. Two top secret government projects reputed to have investigated UFOs, while Hangar 18 on the base allegedly housed the body of an alien life form.
Hands up. I'm not going to tell you again.
In January, a man was shot and killed when he drove onto the Nevada National Security Site, which is a separate facility not related to Area 51.
But it appears the U.S. Air Force is taking these threats seriously.
The Pentagon has already issued a stern warning to would-be intruders. Lincoln County business owners say they've been told Area 51's already formidable security systems will be beefed up even more for the upcoming event.
Will the Naruto run on Area 51, or at least the threat of it on September 20th, be just the beginning of widespread social media activism aimed at uncovering these government mysteries? John Bound reporting.
Area 51, will it have... See, here's my thing about this. Because obviously you have to weigh all things. Is it being manufactured? Is it being co-opted? Is it being used as a distraction? But to me, if you actually naturally and organically have a group of Americans that want to penetrate a government facility because they want secrets, I just can't help but kind of like that. I can't help but kind of like that as a rogue, as a revolutionary. But at the same time, you don't want this to be something that was meant to go sideways, and you don't want to be goose-stepped into some sort of trap here. You just want something. Second hour of the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. And we're now joined by Leo Zagami from LeoZagami.com and all of his great books. His latest story, and we were following the story with Leo Zagami at leozagami.com. Vatican orders end of investigation on the bones that were mysteriously uncovered during the search for a missing teen beneath the Vatican City. And in a separate story that I also want to get Leo's take on, unmarked buildings, quiet legal help for accused priests. And the story is from the Associated Press, and it basically is about how priests that are being either rightfully accused or wrongly accused of being sexual predators are going to this like top secret legal place to get help. But first, Leo, so we're missing a teenage girl for decades. Search is ongoing. The brother, who you know, is relentless in his search for truth here. They start to dig up some sites in the Vatican City. They find all kind of mysteries, empty tombs, just whole swaths of bones in areas where they shouldn't be under the Vatican City. And so, okay, well, let's investigate this. We're missing a teenager. And then the Vatican says, nope, you're not allowed to investigate these bones. How does this story go, Leo Zagami?
Hello, Owen. Well, the story goes that, as usual, the Vatican arrives at a certain point. They always have to stop everything and say you can't go further with any investigations. In this case, they seem to be justified by the fact that most of the bones that have been found are no older than 1800, the date they have given to the Vatican expert who is in charge, though, of this whole thing. Is himself so close to the Vatican and so close to the popes. He actually was in charge of doing the embalsamation. When you get a body and you basically embalm it. And he was in charge of embalming two popes. So he's also a member of a very important knighthood in the Vatican. This guy is called Professor Giovanni Arcudi. So can we trust him completely? Of course not. That's one of the points I'm making. Some people have said, well, you shouldn't make this point because if there is all the bones are old, and you should just give up on the whole thing. Two ossuaries have been found which were not mapped. There is a bunch of bones there, and some of these bones apparently are also of minors. How did they get there? We should at least know something more about it. Instead, the Vatican decided this weekend, between Saturday and Sunday, that it wasn't worth going further with the investigation. And, of course, the request that was made by the Orlandi family and their own expert was not accepted. They didn't accept the fact that there could be further analysis on these bones. So that's what has happened with this whole thing. We have been analyzing this whole saga of the bones since last year. And, of course, here on InfoWars, we have been the first people to report on it, even since the first findings that were made in a separate location called Villa Georgina. And those findings also were of bones that were pretty old. Now, these other bones were instead based in the Teutonic Cemetery, which is within the Vatican walls, but it is considered extraterritorial. But it's not yet Vatican territory. It's a bit of a particular place, this Teutonic Cemetery, that has seen already other strange things happening in the past. Apparently, during the Second World War, some Jewish people were also hidden there by the Vatican, and other things that, of course, regard very closely the connection between the Vatican and the German nobility. So, having said all this, the Vatican wants to close down the matter. They, of course, made an effort, at least publicly, to finally try to open up to Pietro and his family, Pietro Orlandi, who is the brother.
I was going to say, how does Pietro feel about this? I would imagine for him, it feels like maybe the first break that he's had in years, you know, for any hope of an answer. And they just shut it down. And just so people that don't realize this, Leo, I just kind of want to give a backdrop. For people that haven't investigated or looked into the Vatican and the power of the Catholic Church, this is common practice. They'll find remains, mysterious remains, bones, sarcophaguses, all this stuff and then the Vatican will show up and claim it's holy land, and then all of a sudden you can't excavate anymore, and they just put a church on top of it. It's kind of like the whole thing you see in movies, like, you know, the FBI shows up and now they're running the whole show. That's kind of basically what you're saying happened with this, with all these bones being investigated. And then I wouldn't be surprised, Leo, if that graveyard you were talking about, what was it, the tectonic graveyard? The Vatican may claim that pretty soon, too. But how does Mr. Orlandi feel about this? I mean, finally maybe having some hope, even if it's a small glimmer, and the Vatican just ripping it away.
Yeah, Pietro found the whole thing interesting because he says, at least with them opening up and actually giving me the permission, with the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, giving his own permission to open up originally those two tombs, and then later on they found those ossuaries that were additions to these two tombs in the Teutonic Cemetery. Well, he thinks that this is a sort of admission from the Vatican that something strange has gone on with this Vatican citizen. Because let's remember, Emanuele Orlandi was a Vatican citizen. Pietro is no longer. He has given up his Vatican citizenship after what happened because he doesn't want to have anything to do with the Vatican any longer. And who can blame him?
That's actually a good point, Leo. I'm sorry, because I don't want to forget that. This reminds me of, like, somebody needs to do a documentary on this to me, because this reminds me of, I think it was a TWA Flight 900. And you had all these people involved in as witnesses, and then the FBI came in and basically erased it, changed their testimony, tampering with evidence. And so, you know, the people involved are just like, oh, okay, this happened. And then they see the FBI come in and whitewash all this stuff. Maybe it's a crude comparison. My point is, like, they did a documentary on that, a very eye-opening. To me, this is like the same thing. It's like you do a documentary on how the Vatican is trying to keep Flight 800, thank you. There's an incredible documentary on TWA Flight 800, if you haven't seen it. Incredible documentary. Really will open your eyes. But to me, the same thing is happening with the Vatican right now. It's like, okay, hey, we just discovered these bones. Maybe there's something here. Maybe there's not. Let's investigate. Oh, no, you're not investigating. Well, wait a second. Now, all of a sudden, I'm really interested. What are you trying to hide?
They're trying to hide something, and there is also another strange oddity. When they gave the communication, which has been given, the official communication, the official statement that we should all stop our investigations on the bones, came out on Sunday. Apparently, they finished investigating this whole thing around 12:30. They started early in the morning. So afternoon, they finished this whole investigation, and they simply came out with a statement. It's a little bit odd to come out with a statement on Sunday. And this statement didn't only include the bones found in the ossuaries, in the two ossuaries that were accidentally found. There was also a statement made about the bones found in Villa Georgina, the one found last year that we also discussed prior to this. So this whole thing is very strange, because how comes they suddenly come with a common joint statement saying that both cases are closed, that we should forget about all these bones? And so you have to understand who is the expert here. Professor Giovanni Arcudi, as I said, was awarded an honor of commander of the Question Order of San Sylvester, which is only given to the people who are closest to the Vatican. He himself has admitted how close he is. So, of course, he is not biased about his own decision of closing the investigation. Regarding the safe houses you mentioned earlier, when it comes to priests that, of course, have been exposed as pedophiles, I've also wrote
well,
about...
Well, let's pause it right there. Perfect time. We got to take a break. So we just talked about the bones that were uncovered that the Vatican squashed an investigation on. Now Leo's got the expertise on a safe house.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
I've already been accused of ruining milk duds for the audience today. So I'm just going to figure, why not just go right down with this trend? We're talking about bones. We got the bone broth at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we did not make our bone broth from the exhumed bones from the tombs there at the Vatican. We got Leo's a comic. All right, if Leo Zagami was a milk dud, he would be white chocolate. But that's not the point. The point is the bone broth at InfoWarsStore.com is really good stuff. It's the ultimate bone broth formula. You know, I kind of got a bone to pick, actually. I might do this live on air because I'm actually, I use the bone broth every day. I exercise this morning, Leo, and I take bone broth in my protein shake afterwards. All right, I tell you what, I'm not going to do this live on air, but I'm a frequent user of the bone broth, and I've made a request to the powers that be about bone broth, something that I think we need to do differently with it. But tell you what, I'm not going to do it live on air because I'm going to give them a chance to fix this because it needs to be done. But I use the bone broth every day.
Oh, and
after my workout. What's that, Leo?
Do you want to snort the bone broth?
You don't want to snort. You don't want to snort the bone broth. What you want to do is if you want to put it in a protein shake, okay, and mix it up. I like to mix it up with chocolate milk. I do the chocolate almond milk with the ultimate bone broth, peanut butter, banana in a smoothie is what I do. And it's pretty much as good as it's going to get. You get the protein and all the other nutrients from the bone broth. But, all right, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it on air. Because the bone broth needs a smaller scoop. Okay? Period. Okay. It needs a smaller scoop. I just got to say it. It needs a smaller scoop. I use the bone broth every day, and I love it so much. But it needs a smaller scoop. Because, Leo, the scoop is like as big as the canister. And I'm just struggling because I don't want to get the mess everywhere is the problem. I don't even want to waste a tiny little speckle of the bone broth. It's that good. I want all that goodness in me. And the big scoop makes me sometimes spill some out on the counter. So I'm just doing it live on air. We need a smaller scoop on the bone broth. We need a smaller scoop. I know that people that use the bone broth, they know what I'm talking about with this scoop problem. Because I know that I've even talked about the people here that could change that, and they haven't done it yet. So I'm putting them on blast right now. But in case people were wondering, our bone broth is not sourced from the Vatican's, tombs where they find all these missing bones. Leo, I just wanted to correct the record on that, okay?
Okay. That's great.
Now that is me when I'm trying to find my bone broth right there. Yep. That's what happens.
I'm about to finish my Bane Force. I need some now.
Leo, you were getting into, we were just breaking, and we were segueing into this story that the Associated Press has today.
I'm going to take a Brain Force.
Do you need to take a Brain Force right now?
Yeah, after all this bomb, bro, it's too much.
Somebody get Leo a water, please. Can we get Leo a water here?
Hey, can you get me a water?
Leo needs a water. He's got to take his bone broth. Hold on. Let's see this. Are you out? Wait, are you out of Brain Force? Okay, there we go.
Last Brain Force, which I'm going to share with my viewers.
All right, there he goes. So Leo just took...
I'm back in action.
Leo just took the Brain Force. All right, you're ready to go?
Okay, so we are talking about these unmarked buildings that appeared on Associated Press. But I want to break to all our viewers that actually we gave this news ages ago, and you can go and check it on my website last year when I actually discussed the safe houses of the Vatican that were brought out in a book that was published in Italy. It was a new book that was published about the fact that the Vatican had these safety houses already in Italy. So, of course, I said to myself, there must be also similar places in the U.S. And, of course, the Associated Press has investigated this whole matter, and they have found out that in the Michigan area, the Opus Bono, which is this organization created to protect basically these pedophiles who have been exposed, because they feel sorry for them, so they have to give them money, they have to give them a place to stay. Of course, they will show up in these unmarked buildings not as priests. They will try to be as discreet as possible, but it has played apparently a very important role, this Opus Bono, since 2002. And since the explosion of all these scandals has unveiled a never-ending situation of Catholic priests involved in the worst scandals possible. And it's not only pedophilia. Some of them are addicted to drugs. Some of them, instead, are addicted to porn. And we have also some nuns that are in these buildings, apparently.
All right, so wait, let's do this, Leo. Let's actually really focus on this. And let's get the crew, the story that you wrote on this a while ago, and let's reference that, too. But I really want you to... So you're saying the unmarked building, quiet legal help for accused priests that you highlighted years ago that's now being highlighted in the Associated Press, you're telling me this is for a number of different things, not necessarily just priests accused of pedophilia or gay orgies or all the other stuff that we've seen in the news, but you're saying... drug addiction and other such things?
Yeah, of course. We have a lot of Catholic priests who are unfortunately drug addicts. And we have others who have shown this by stealing the money of their flock. There has been recently a guy who has stolen, I think, $70,000 here in California. Just a week ago, they gave this such news. So if they steal this money, usually it's to spend it on male prostitutes, cocaine, and other things. So these are treatment centers for priests and nuns with problems. And of course, nothing was ever discussed regarding this Vatican law that establishes that such houses for atonement and reformation for priests exist in every diocese. It was always kept very secret. But of course, now things have changed because Associated Press has made a whole investigation, and they have, of course, unveiled that there is a bunch of these safe houses. What is a safe house? I call them safe houses because that's how they used to call them for in the intelligence community. When you had to hide in enemy territory, you will always have such thing as a safe house. So these there is also another interesting thing about these unmarked buildings. The Vatican, actually, by doing this, is breaking a law, a United Nations law, because the United Nations Commission on the Prevention of Child Abuse and the UN Convention Against Torture says that you should actually give notice of such buildings because you are committed a crime by keeping them in custody without communicating to the outside world that there are, of course, criminals there, people that might assault your child. So I hope I made it clear here. The Vatican is breaking also the laws of the United Nations here in the U.S. Well, this is quite interesting. And the Associated Press has not mentioned that, by the way. So the Associated Press...
Well, you know, we're about to go to break, and I want to continue talking about this on the other side. And let's find your story that you wrote on this years ago. But I'm thinking, what is the Catholic Church in the news about anymore these days? It's always about pedophile rings, gay sex, orgies, corruption. Like, does the Catholic Church, is it even Christian anymore? What's that?
Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking a white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Leo, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this quote-unquote safe house for accused priests. Again, you covered this years ago. We've got the story. You gave it to the crew. But the AP has just picked it up. Unmarked buildings, quiet legal help for accused priests. And it talks about how priests that are in potential legal trouble go to this place, a nonprofit group called Opus Bono Sacerdoti. It's been around for decades. Unmarked buildings in rural Michigan providing money, shelter, transport, legal help to support hundreds, perhaps even thousands of Catholic priests accused of sexual abuse across the country or other such things. And so this whole story about Opus Bono has some specifics in it. You were getting into the illegalities of this. There's your story. New book reveals how the Roman Catholic Church is hiding their pedophile priests, and I guess that's even the building right there, Leo.
Yeah, well,
that you have that you've highlighted in this story. But let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. Who's funding it? How is it a nonprofit? How is the Vatican tied into this? And again, how is this in violation of international law?
Well, as I said earlier, it's in violation because when you are hosting people who have broken the law, criminals who have violated the sacred life of a child, you have to communicate it to the authorities that you have such a place. I mean, you can't just put a bunch of pedophiles in a building and leave them there in anonymity. You have to. There is certain laws that are obligatory for every state in the world. The only state that doesn't respect these rules is the Vatican. And the Vatican acts, of course, out of these rules. And when you also mention this organization, one of the founders of this organization has actually been accused of pedophilia himself, and he had to resign because he himself had violated and raped a child. So we are talking about perverts who are trying to protect themselves by organizing this whole network that is a network of protection of themselves. Basically, when they are outed as pedophilia, for the pedophilia, they are then protected by their network. I also wanted to point out that is coming out just in the last few days on American Magazine, which is the Jesuit, or one of the official Jesuit magazines and newspapers here in the United States, that they are officially embracing communism. They actually made an article on the 23rd of July by Matt Malone, a Jesuit, titled "Why We Published an Essay Sympathetic to Communism." And they actually outlined that one of the finest moments of this Catholic publication was in late spring 1954 when they denounced Senator Joseph McCarthy's activities, the witch hunt, again, of course, at some called witch hunt, against the communists. So as you see, the Vatican is really coming out in the open, and everything we have been discussing as tomorrow's news today here on InfoWars for the last few years is coming out in the open and is becoming stuff for mainstream press. So we're very happy about that. But of course, they shouldn't call us conspiracy theorists any longer, because we have simply stated things that people were scared of. And especially when it comes to the fact that these safety houses are now being discovered here in the US, especially in the Michigan area, we should demand the authorities of the authorities over there to make the people around, the people from the state, know where these buildings are and where these pedophiles are, because this is what the law demands, Owen. You cannot act. Like the Catholic Church is acting in the last few years without obeying any law here in California.
But let's be clear, because if you're any sort of a registered sex offender or anything like that, you're on a registered sex offender registry. And so that's so parents can know, neighborhood watch can know. I mean, you know, that's a thing, but the Catholic Church has separated themselves from this registry somehow, and they're using these unmarked buildings to do so. But Leo, I mean, who's funding this? I mean, this obviously takes millions of dollars to fund. Do you know where this funding is coming from?
It's coming from the Catholic Church donations that are filtered some way and in the end end up in the pockets of this organization, which is being built by this network of pedophiles. So the Vatican is breaking the law by bringing illegal immigrants in this country, protecting pedophiles. And what next? I mean, they are inciting civil war. On the 21st of June 2019, the National Catholic Reporter entitled an article to defend immigrants, "It's time for U.S. bishops to break the law." These people are literally the enemies of the United States of America and of all decent people who want to protect their children from this network of pedophiles that instead is actually protecting themselves without protecting us. I don't know if I made the whole thing clear, Owen.
Well, here, but Leo, it's just whenever you look at the Vatican as an international operation, you just see how powerful it really is, because the average person would hear this and say, how can they protect pedophiles? How can they bury this news? How can they take this investigation into these unknown human remains and just squash it? I mean, how about that, Leo? How is it that the Vatican has this incredible power to pull this off?
because every military in the U.S. is linked to the Jesuits. Every intelligence service in the U.S. is linked to the Jesuits. All the various intelligence agencies you have in the U.S. actually recruit most of their subjects from the Catholic Church these days. So either they recruit them from the Catholic Church or either from the Mormons. So it's one or the other. But apparently the Catholic are the ones who are more influential. Just watch who is usually the head of the CIA. He's always a Catholic. And the head of the CIA is not only a Catholic usually, but he's also a Knights of Malta or a Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, a member of the Knights of the Vatican. That means that they are totally controlled by the Vatican, intimately controlled by the Vatican. It's not just the control of a faithful. When these people join the Knights of the Vatican, they give themselves completely up to the control of a military structure within the Vatican, because people tend to forget that these Knights are a military organization. And some of them, like, for example, the Knights of Malta, but even the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, even if in a smaller way, they have their own extraterritorial, they have their own independent structures from any other nations. And that's why after the Second World War, a lot of the Nazis escaped from Europe thanks to passports that were issued by the Vatican or the Knights of Malta. So the Vatican is continuing their tradition of protecting the worst scum in society. That is the truth. And unfortunately,
unfortunately, maybe no one else is willing to look into this and report on this?
Of course. And when it comes down to the bones, for them, it's easy to now, you know, just silence the media, report their own version of the events, and just make sure that nothing else comes. The investigation doesn't go further because, of course, these bones could have been old bones. But why were they there? I mean, are we not allowed to know why these bones were there? Did they belong to an order, or were they bones that were actually coming from human sacrifices?
And where are the bones that were supposed to be in those tombs?
And where are the bones that were supposed to be in the two tombs? Of course, the bones of two princes. I mean, they were not even common people. They were actually members of the royal families, of the aristocracy. So where are the bones of these princes? Nothing. The Vatican continues to act in violation of every international law because they are a sovereign state. That's the big problem, Owen. Until the Vatican continues to be a sovereign state and continues to influence every sovereign state in the world, thanks to their own intelligence.
Well, maybe, Leo, I mean, I'm not calling for this. I'm just saying, and let's discuss this if you can, one more segment. They're in an Area 51 raid. Let's discuss that. Maybe it's a Vatican raid. Let's see what's in the basement of the Vatican.
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have specials right now. 50% off DNA Force Plus, 50% off Super Male Vitality, 50% off all storable foods at InfoWarsStore.com, and coupon code being offered to this audience exclusively, coupon code WARROOM at checkout, 15% off any ProPure shower filter. 15% off any ProPure shower filter with coupon code WARROOM. That coupon code is going to be good until the end of August. So get yourself a brand new shower head, filtered shower head from InfoWarsStore.com, and get 15% off with coupon code WARROOM. Okay, Leo Zagami is still with us, LeoZagami.com. Leo, I want to get your take because you were, in fact, talking to some people out there familiar with Area 51 and some of the underground, let's say, alien news coverage or UFO news coverage. I'm sure you've seen the Area 51 raid story, where you've got millions of people claiming they're going to go raid Area 51. You know, it's funny. I think maybe that needs to happen at the Vatican before it happens at Area 51. And maybe this is something. And so here's why this story is interesting to me, Leo, because I see it. And if I take it at face value, I say, here's millions of citizens of this country, America, deciding to organize and take action because they're sick of secrecy and non-transparency when it comes to these government programs. That's if I take it at face value. If I'm skeptical, I say, this is being orchestrated. There's something else to this. Maybe it's a trap. And then three, I say, if I'm applying this nationwide or even worldwide, how is this used for the good? Well, you've got protests happening in Hong Kong. You've got protests happening in France. You've got protests happening in Puerto Rico. You've got protests happening. So social media can be used for good to organize and have a justified protest, but it can also be co-opted and then using that as a reason to shut this organic form of organization down. So what is your take on the Area 51 raid, and what are people in your social circle saying?
Well, as you know, I have been going and traveling around the U.S., especially along the sides of Area 51 since
Wait,
the end
was
of-
that you've been flying around the USA in a UFO? It's been Leo Zagami the whole time. Leo was in the flying saucer.
Not flying, but traveling with my car. And I actually found myself a couple of times in the middle of a strange situation. I described the one in Roswell in the past, but actually recently when I was coming back from close to Area 51, I was going towards, I was coming from Rachel and that area down. I then took a shortcut from Baker, which is on the way to Las Vegas also. And this shortcut brought me into the Mojave Reserve, and suddenly I found myself like in a scene from The X-Files with all these men dressed in mop gear and police. And it was really, really strange. And there was nothing. I was in the middle of nowhere. I had taken a shortcut in the middle of the desert because I wanted to see more of this secret bases. They say they are also on the other side there towards the Joshua Tree National Park. So I've been very curious myself about things. But when it comes down to jeopardizing the safety of American military, that's really an act that I don't advise anybody should be taking. You are putting in jeopardy not only your life, but also the life of the servicemen who will have to shoot you down. I mean, they have orders to protect what are military installations that are protected by the National Security Act. So by violating that, we are going in a very dangerous territory for all those American citizens that have signed up for this storming of Area 51. And I will advise very strongly to give up on any idea of storming the area, though I will actually be in the area myself. And I have planned to do a seminary on the day after. I called it actually, I think I called the seminary the day after, and it's going to be in Paramp, which is on the way when you're coming down from Area 51. So for all those people who might want to try this storming of Area 51, well, if it doesn't go very well, you can always join me the day after in Paramp. I think it's going to be a total disaster because the moment you arrive in Rachel, there is no food there enough for, I mean, there is no food or drinks for more than water for more than 1,000 people. So if you bring there 100,000 people, they will not have any food. They will not have any water. There will be a complete crisis. They will probably shut down the famous extraterrestrial highway. So you will find yourself in the middle of nowhere, having to go back from where you come. And there is hundreds of miles with absolutely nothing in those areas. So I think it's a very stupid idea. Of course, people can be interested, can move by curiosity. And it's, of course, an act of defiance to go there and say, we want to know the truth about what's going on inside Area 51. But if this, I repeat, jeopardizes the security of our servicemen, forget about it. That's what I say. Forget about it.
Yeah, and again, I feel though there is a legit cause for people's, you know, curiosity. There is a legit cause to say, hey, you know, we want to know what's going on. There's a lot of stuff.
Owen, I mean, we all remember when Jesse Ventura went in front of Area 51, and Jesse Ventura is not a lightweight, and even himself. I mean, he gave up. So you think these guys have more attributes than Jesse Ventura? I don't think so. So good luck with that. I will be waiting for you in Pahrump the day after, hoping there is not too many dead people, because people will be shot on the spot, I'm sorry to say. And so they will end up themselves in a
very bad... And that's just going to make it even a bigger phenomenon, honestly. If people die, then they're just going to be like, oh, wow, they're really hiding something to me. I mean, I think that they should maybe film something from inside, give them something, you know, like, okay, here's what's going on in here. Please don't come and raid it.
Yeah, but Owen, here we are talking about billions. I mean, billions of dollars invested in stuff like the latest aircraft, invisible, whatever, all kinds of technology. And they're going to let a bunch of people only for the curiosity, for the...
I got to play both sides on this aisle, Leo, because whose money is that? I mean, that's the American taxpayers' dollars. So, I mean, again, there's a give and take here.
Well, that the same money that the squad and Nancy Pelosi used to eat in the most lavish restaurant in Venice, in Italy, a couple of days ago. And nobody's saying anything about that. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and the squad was actually having a lavish dinner in Harry's restaurant in Venice. And I mean, that's quite a waste, don't you think?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'll sit here and talk about wasteful government spending all day long. I'm just kind of neutral on this thing because, I mean, how else are people... But that's the whole thing. It's like, we have to take back our own government. I'm not saying go raid Area 51. I'm not saying go take up arms. I'm saying... If we want more transparency, people do have to speak up. People do have to stand up. Again, I'm not saying go raid a military facility, but I would hope that maybe some of this pressure would at least get Area 51 to release something. I mean, give the people something to quench their curiosity, something to quench their thirst. Go in and say, look, this is what we're doing. We can't show you the classified stuff, but we're doing military drills. We're housing, you know, nuclear material, whatever's going on.
The problem here is these people are capable of detonating an underground nuclear weapon to stop this from happening. They will trigger the biggest earthquake ever if people in their thousands get close to them. Just to be warned, they can trigger a massive earthquake very easily. They detonate a nuclear weapon, and that's it. So, I mean, it's not a joke because, I mean, we saw what has happened with the recent earthquakes here in California, Nevada. And it doesn't take much to trigger another earthquake.
Would you organize a million-man raid on the Vatican?
Absolutely. And that's a different thing, you see, because when it comes down to the Vatican, that's where really we should address all our interest. I mean, when it comes to the Jesuits, they are the ones who are in control of astronomy. They're the ones who are actually in control of NASA. They're the people who are in control of Area 51. So the Jesuits are capable of going in and out of Area 51 without anybody stopping them. And I can prove you that over and over again. The Jesuits can't actually do things that we as Americans can't do, but the Jesuits can. So just leave it to you. I mean, the Vatican should be stormed, because once we storm the Vatican and we go in those archives and we can prove the truth about...
They have so much, man. I mean, they have so many historical archives at the Vatican that could unlock so many mysteries to life. They don't want us to have it. I don't know what they have at Area 51, but that's what they've been doing at the Vatican. Leo Zagami, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. LeoZagami.com. You'll catch him in a flying saucer pretty soon.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
In the hands of the global private banking cartel that is now trying to strangle our economy and our national sovereignty and our borders and our flag and the term America or American. This is what conquerors do. This is what outside enemies do. And now they're doing it.
Will you be able to make a statement against FGM? Because that's an issue in Detroit It would be really powerful if the two Muslim congresswomen, yourself and Rashida, would make a statement on this issue.
And so I think, quite disgusted, really, to be honest, that as Muslim legislators, we are constantly being asked to waste our time speaking to issues that other people are not asked to speak to, because the assumption exists that we somehow support and are for, right? No, there is an assumption. What we look for and what this whole conversation is about is that not only do we not have internalized fears about what we might believe and how that gets implemented, but that we also don't have, right, assumptions about what our value basis might be because of where we might come from and who we pray to.
I've met people who have come here from behind the Iron Curtain that got away from communism. They're some of the best Americans we have because they really appreciate how great our country is. And then I hear Representative Omar say, oh, America's a terrible place. I'd love to be justice, and there's no justice here. It's like, well, she came here and we fed her, we clothed her. She got welfare, she got school, she got health care. And then, lo and behold, she has the honor of actually winning a seat in Congress, and she says we're a terrible country. I think that's about as ungrateful as you can get.
Wall Street Journal admits that the Jacobin Revolution was an anti-God, anti-family, human enslavement program of control freaks now being carried out in 2019 in the West. And it shows that the academics of the establishment are turning against the system that they originally signed on to. Because it's not just Alex Jones and it's not just Lord Monckton that know that the French Revolution was the precursor of the communist, that the very same institutions and groups financed the takedown of Russia and China.
This is very, very typical of the left now. They are not in any real sense Democrats. They don't believe in the popular vote unless by their power in the media they can manipulate it, and of course by massive voter fraud. Even that wasn't big enough to get it for them this time.
Yeah, they stole five states. Trump still won.
I hope they clean up. So Trump still won. And of course they're furious. And what should we do about this? What we've got to do is to make it clear to them that they either shape up and sharpen up and get back with democracy and start understanding that the will of the people in a republic that is democratic is sovereign, or they can get out of politics altogether and go and grow vegetable marrows. They can't pretend that they like democracy when they don't. And one of the reasons why they lost is that people are beginning to realize that the left hate democracy because every so often, as it has this time, it allows somebody else a turn at the levers of government, and they are increasingly intolerant of that.
This is mainline history at the academic PhD level. And so everybody needs to just grow up. And I'm not talking about our audience, but the general public that makes jokes. Please just grow up and realize that this system is designed to enslave humanity, not empower it. And we know communism enslaves. And it's done by ultra-rich who manipulate populations off against each other. And we have no future if we don't stand against this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Final hour of the War Room starts now. I'm going to open up the phone lines on the other side of this break, hit some other headlines, and take your phone calls. What is the big story? Is it that the Democrats are being exposed on how they've run inner cities, or is it still Epstein? Final hour of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We've been talking about how the Democrats have been ignoring American inner cities, the poverty, the homelessness, the trash, the rats, everything, the infrastructure collapsing, the violence against police, the domestic violence, all of it, the drug dealing. Democrats have been ignoring that, if anything, abetting it. But now they're going to go down and virtue signal at the southern border for non-citizens who have it tough. Well, you know, if every American had what's the old bread on their plate and soup in their bowl or something, I'm forgetting the famous line. But yeah, if every American was fed and sheltered and clothed and, you know, had access to clean running water, well, okay, maybe then you say, wow, we've got all this excess in our country. Let's take care of some others. We don't have that excess. And you notice how the media wants to sit here and point at, you know, middle-class America saying, you've got it too good, when the average middle-class American citizen is still working their tail off to pay the bills. They've got family. They've got debt. They've got this. They've got that. So it's this big lie that somehow if you're middle class in America, you're so spoiled, you have it so good, you have to suffer. And then the actual people suffering in America get ignored but used as a political football. Now they're doing the same thing with illegal immigrants coming from all these other countries. Hey, how about Mexico takes a few? How about all these other countries in Africa and the Middle East and Europe? Why don't you just keep all of them over there? Because we can't take them anymore. We've got our own homelessness crisis. We've got a crisis right now with veterans. We've got all kinds of problems that we're not addressing in our major cities because Democrats are too busy focused on non-citizens. Now, you can sit here and claim, oh, but it's so virtuous. Well, that's fine. Go be virtuous on your own time. Go be virtuous on your own dime, not the taxpayers. Now, we'll take your calls on that. We're not forgetting about all the Epstein drama. Also, I've been neutral on Dan Coats, but today in the news, you had all the liberal media saying Dan Coats was the best. He was the only one in Trump's cabinet telling him the truth. He was the one in Trump's cabinet trying to keep the truth alive while Trump was killing it. It's in the Washington Post. Dan Coats was a casualty of Trump's war on truth. It's on CNN. Trump clashes with a truth teller and replaces him with a partisan sycophant. And you go read, and it's all about how Dan Coats is telling Trump, oh, it's all about the intelligence agencies. It's all about intelligence. It's all about all this intelligence. Oh, yes. Oh, the intelligence. Oh, there's John Brennan, member of the intelligence community. Oh, we love Dan Coats. So it doesn't take long to find out who these deep state people are. So Coates, clearly a deep stater, he's out now. It's so funny that you brought Brennan up. It's just, it's like, they're all rats on a ship, man. They're all rats on a ship. And you're just seeing some of them leaving the sinking ship. You're seeing some of them trying to cover up for themselves, for one another. And I mean, because here's the deal, folks. Who knows what each one of these people are tied into? But there's so much crime. There's so much treason. Brennan probably, I mean, look, just look at all the wars. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The Democrats, people, not even the Democrats. The average Democrat voter during the Bush years would sit here and complain about all the foreign wars and all the foreign invasions. These people are all involved in that. They're the ones giving the false intelligence. Yeah, it goes all the way back. It goes all the way back. And so Trump had nothing to do with it, and then all of a sudden Trump has everything to do with it. It's just amazing witnessing all this. And you just hope the average American can see it too. I don't know what Jake Tapper knows about Hillary Clinton, but it's just, imagine being involved in such high-level corruption, the highest level of corruption, the highest level of international crime syndicate. the Clintons. And the Clintons were just, Hillary Clinton was just some hick. Bill and Hillary were just a couple hicks. They got involved in this, and it was such a new thing to them, and they got so high. I mean, that's the thing. Bill was just, they were just like new money, just throwing it around. I mean, you know, but now it's like it's all coming out, and I guarantee you they're all going to be looking at the Clintons and the Obamas like, we should have never let them in the club. They ruined it for all of us. And they're going to be the ones that end up bringing the whole house of cards down. The most corrupt people on earth are the Clintons. And Obama's right there behind them. But they just came in wantonly, just like, I'm just going to flex and just throw it all down. Well, you're about to be caught. And you also had, for some reason, the Washington Post and others complaining about Trump making 9/11 about himself simply because he said, I was at ground zero with you on 9/11. They say, Trump makes it all about himself. What? He was there. He's from New York. He knows people that died. It's all about Trump now. No, you guys make everything all about Trump. A cow farts in Wyoming, you blame Trump. So, I mean, you literally make everything about Trump if you're at the Washington Post, and then you say Trump makes everything about himself. No, Obama's the guy that said his name 500 times in an average speech. Not Trump. So let's just go ahead and open up the phone lines. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. And we'll take your calls for the rest of today's show. InfoWarsStore.com has specials going right now. If you don't know about telomere support, if you don't know about CoQ10, and if you don't know about DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com, check it out because it's the last day. It's the last day for this special at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off DNA Force Plus. Take advantage of that. Final day of 50% off DNA Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com. How about Super Male Vitality? 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, I'm always thinking of new ways to plug products, new creative ways to get people to try the products. I don't know if I want to go out on this limb yet, but maybe I should. The crew says do it. All right. So I probably haven't played golf in years. And I went out golfing this weekend. And my friends that I was playing with, actually, ironic enough, three of my high school buddies that happen to live in Austin now, and were playing golf. I hadn't played in years. And I hit the ball extremely well. And they couldn't even believe it. They're like, yeah, right, you haven't played in years. I took the Super Male Vitality and the Brain Force before going out that day, and I think that may have been the secret. So you could be like Tiger Woods, and you could practice golf for hours a day to be the best ever, but who's got time for that? Yeah, that's what the average golfer looks like because they forgot to take Brain Force and Super Male Vitality. That's the average golfer without Brain Force right there. Here he is, and now you get after the Super Male Vitality, you look like Tiger Woods. But why would you want to take hours and hours a day to practice to be the best in the world like Tiger Woods when you could just take Super Male Vitality and Brain Force and then go out on the links and just be an average golfer that doesn't fall in the lake when you swing and miss your ball? So seriously, I don't know, man. Maybe that's the key.
Infowars.com/show.
Here we are in the Infowars.com war room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. So we are about to take your phone calls, but we came up with a end-around solution to the liberal madness of you know, decide your own gender. There's no such thing as biology, where men just claim to be women and then take over women's sports, where Trump announces he's a woman and a lesbian, and then he's ever the first female president, first lesbian president, first lesbian female president married to an immigrant. I mean, just knocks it all right out. And it would show you, what is that? Is that a pregnant man? Okay. The crew just pulled this video up. Seriously, is that a pregnant man? Is that what I'm looking at? So that is a pregnant man. So this is the new world here. This is progressive. Men can get pregnant. I guess that's about the most progressive thing you could do. Okay. That just threw me off. Okay. We're putting babies in men now. You were born in your father's ass, apparently. Okay. Anyway, so I thought we had the solution to the liberal madness. Maybe not so much. But I saw this story. Adan Salazar has it at Infowars.com. UK struggles with Muslims rejecting non-halal vaccines. So just claim to be whatever gender, take over women's sports, claim you're the first woman X, Y, and Z, thanks to the new liberal progressive view on biology. Now I've found the way. I've found how we can have vaccine choice. Everybody just has to claim to be Muslim. And it will work. Because that's the new thing, is protecting Muslims from Islamophobia. So if you go to get a vaccine and they say, oh, sorry, you know, you have to take this vaccine. You say, no, I'm Muslim. It's against my Islamic faith. They will their knees will knock and they will cower. They won't know what to do. It's already happening in Europe. So again, if you're Muslim, you're protected class. If you're transsexual, you're protected class. So let's all just take advantage of the liberal ideology, which is just everything is fluid. There are no boundaries. So I'm now a gay transsexual female Muslim. Don't you dare give me a vaccine, and I want to compete on the female World Cup team. So that's the answer. Just claim you're Muslim and you don't have to get the forced vaccine. And if you're a failed male athlete, just claim you're female and you know, beat the women up on the playing field. I mean, we have the solutions here at InfoWars, folks. They may be outside the box, but test them out. Bet they'd work. Let's go out to the phone lines. Leading off today, Cameron in Texas. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, Owen, I was calling in to talk to you a little bit about the sanctuary cities. I think it's pretty easy to see what they're doing there, and obviously they haven't done a whole lot. That's how they get there. So they just bring in people with a lower standard of living who can live in a city with piles of needles, pounds of feces, and typhus, and it's still better. They don't have to do anything, and they can just continue on down the road as they have, business as usual.
But it really makes me wonder, why do we do this to our inner cities? I mean, seriously, why do we do this to the inner cities? I understand that there's people out there that aren't in good, graces or whatever. I understand that there's homeless people. I understand there's impoverished people. I understand there's addicted people. I understand all this is going on. I just don't understand why we do this in the inner cities. If these people really want help, and if we as taxpayers and our government really wants to help them, why don't we build massive facilities that are not in inner cities, that won't cost? I mean, if you look at the cost of living in an inner city versus like out in the middle of nowhere, it's like 10 times. Why aren't we building massive facilities? Call it whatever you want. We should be building massive facilities. They could serve as mental facilities. They could serve as homeless sanctuaries, whatever. Build them outside of the city. Build them 50, 100 miles outside of the city, and you see the homelessness, you know, creeping, and you've got your one homeless center say, okay, if you want help, if you need help for a mental issue, if you need help for drug addiction, if you just need a place to stay, if you need food and water, we will get you into a facility, but it's way out of town. So then you don't have all this, and I'm not even sure if this answered your question, but it's like, again, they're just bringing in more poverty, more criminality, which again, poor people tend to commit crime. It's an act of desperation, and they just are, they're bringing it all into these inner cities, destroying American inner cities. It's like, why are they doing that? I mean, is that what you're saying? You think you figured it out?
No, I don't think I've figured anything out. I think everything you're asking why it's happening, I think it's obviously what they want. And then I don't know why they want it. Obviously, both of us like to think in terms of logic and ideas, but they seem to only care about being able to rule over the ruins. And I don't understand it.
This is a perfect story, too. This headline right here is a perfect example. Empty homes outnumber the homeless 6-1. Why not give them homes? Exactly. Why aren't people looking at the central banks that own all these houses? The central banks own every house. Most people don't even own their houses. And then they have houses nobody's even in. I'm not even saying we do that. I'm just saying the scenario that makes the least sense is concentrating poverty, concentrating crime, concentrating disease, concentrating homelessness in the inner cities where most of the commerce, the economy, the society goes, and then we focus it all there. It doesn't make any sense. And in case America hasn't noticed, it's not working. People are still homeless. They're still addicted to drugs. They're not getting out of the streets. Thanks for the call, Cameron. The average American asks these questions. The average politician doesn't provide solutions. Let's go now to Josh in New Jersey. Go ahead, Josh.
How you doing, Alan?
Good. Well, thank you for calling.
I was talking in reference to the Mr. Cummings and Baltimore, the evil master splinter. I think if all those Democrats are going to go to the border and check out that, I think Trump should go down and check out Baltimore. You know, while they're away, see the poverty land.
That's so brilliant. You're 100% right.
Those Democratic strongholds, I think it's a perfect city to start with. While they're down at the
border, is a brilliant strategy, actually.
And he should go, you know, set up food lines, bring 1,000 dump trucks down there.
And then you can even parlay that. You say, okay, I just went and visited all these American inner cities that I care about, that I want to see do better. The Democrats won't do that. Force the Democrats to go into El Salvador. Force the Democrats to go into Honduras. Force the Democrats to go into Panama, where Venezuelans are going in right now because their country is collapsing. Yeah, that's it. And then the optics, here's Trump going into the American inner cities, these great American inner cities, showing the actual issues, and then here are the Democrats going where? Mexico, Honduras, Central America. That's it exactly, because that's who the Democrats are fighting for. That's what the Democrats want you to look at Central America and say, look at how bad these people are struggling. That's their whole thing of going to the southern border. Trump needs to do the same thing in inner cities. Baltimore, now that it's in the news, is the perfect place to start. A great idea from Josh. Unfortunately, I don't think Trump's team thinks out of the box this often. Otherwise, they would have already done something like this and do it while the Democrats are at the southern border. That's the perfect juxtaposition.
Infowars.com/show.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we're taking your calls here on The War Room, but first, I don't know what it is, but you have to wonder why, specifically the one that was the most eye-opening, pun not intended, was the Tim Cook interview where his pupils are literally like dinner plates. And, I mean, it's well known, folks, when you're on certain drugs, your pupils expand. Otherwise, whenever you're in light, your pupils shrink. And when you're in darkness, they expand. This is how naturally our eyes adapt to basically our own night vision and day vision. I mean, we have night vision. It takes some time to adjust to it. In fact, if you've ever done the experiment with yourself, I remember we did it in like some summer camp. I was a kid or something. But we were outside all night without any light for hours. And then they had us put one hand over one of our eyes, and then they just lit a lighter for like 2 minutes. And then the eye that you had open while the lighter was out, and then you open the other eye, and it's literally night and day. So the eye that was just exposed to light, you can't see anything. The eye that's been in the darkness for hours, you can see everything. But then, there, of course, there's drugs that manipulate your pupils. And so you see all these big tech people doing these interviews and doing these speeches, and their pupils are huge. Are they on some sort of select drug? Are they on some sort of timed-release DMT? Are they on acid? What are they all on? Here is a report asking, what is wrong with the eyes of big tech?
You know, the top Nazi, Wernher von Braun, wrote a 1959 book, or 1949 book, I'm going from memory here, called Project Mars, where the Elons are the aliens who end up taking over the Earth. Beware the Elons and the Elon invasion. Dr. Wernher von Braun. Wonder what he knew. When I watched his promo about this with executives from his company, they all look like they're on hardcore drugs. I mean, they're like sweating. Their eyes are like lit up. Like, I mean, they look nuts. I mean, you know when somebody's on drugs. You know, they admit Silicon Valley is into hardcore speed and hallucinogens. They're taking IV drips at work of DMT. They're taking LSD microdoses and psilocybin mushrooms and peyote every day. Who in the hell would want to join with these people? I've seen people take like three hits of acid. Their eyes aren't that big. What the hell are they on? And one of the crew members said maybe they've already got this whole Neuralink wires hooked in their brain, because as PKD pointed out, Philip K. Dick, back in the 70s, the cyberpunk future is where you can get any type of pleasure you want, just plug in. But no one wants to even get up or eat for weeks or days. You just die because you just plug all this in, and it's the Matrix. And now the Matrix is here, and you look at Tim Cook or Elon Musk or any of his executives, when they're up there on that stage, they'll be under white lights. Their pupils are 90% open. Zuckerberg, all of them, these people either have brain chips. That's it. These guys are wireheads. Something's going on. I'm in here underneath bright lights, and my pupils are very little. Now, zoom in if you can. My pupils are tiny, because I'm not on drugs. I've had two cups of coffee today. So here, let me show you my pupils, okay? My pupils are little. They're supposed to close. That's what happens under the sun or under bright lights, but not these guys. These are drug addicts, and they want the hit of wires in their brains, and all of them have got those giant pupils because they've been there, and they ain't coming back.
That's my pupils in live time right now. Do they look normal size? Go ahead and zoom in. Now, folks, look, there are natural ways, if you study meditation, specifically out of the Far East, there are natural ways where you can basically create a hallucinogenic trip, specifically through DMT produced in your body, and it requires deep meditation, darkness, sensory deprivation, and you can essentially have trips, hallucinogenic trips, or as some people say, enter the chemical doorway into multiple dimensions. And so this is ancient stuff, but now there's just shortcuts to doing it. You can smoke DMT, or you can consume the ayahuasca, and there's all kinds of different stuff out here. But, I mean, look, I'm no choir boy. And I've experimented enough with drugs to know that they're doing something not available to the public. Because if you're on one of these trips, you're not really, in fact, you can't even really communicate with humans half the time, quite frankly, folks. I mean, you're not even really there. So they're sitting there on some time-release drug. Who knows what it is, but I wonder, too, hearing that report from Alex, maybe they've already got the brain chip in. Because you think about this stuff, there's a reason why people go into the deep Amazon to do the ayahuasca experience. In fact, if you're in Peru or Brazil, it's like a commonplace thing when you have a midlife crisis. You go into the deep Amazon, you find a shaman, you do the ayahuasca trip for like a week, and it's an eye-opening thing. It changes your perspective. But you still can't, I mean, you can't do a TV interview. I guess I'll put it to you like that. You can't look at another human and be normal. So they had to be on some sort of time release thing. Or I wonder now, have they already done the brain chip? Do they already have something wired into their head that allows them to control the release of their own DMT? Can they, do they have the exact chemical equation where they know how much of a certain substance or DMT or whatever it is to take to enter that realm where you're still seeing this dimension and communicating in this dimension, but at the same time, you're seeing other dimensions? I mean, all I know is that it's like when I was a kid, like, and this would just be like, if I smoked pot, if I came home after smoking weed from a high school party, my mom would see my eyes and be like, hey, you definitely are on some drugs. Like, yeah. Or when I was in college and I experimented with stuff, yeah, you look in your mirror, your pupils are like that big. But they're obviously on some sort of time released, or maybe they literally already have a brain chip or something just releasing into their brain. It's very odd stuff. But I don't think anybody knows what's going on, because I've never seen somebody with pupils that big that's not on drugs and that's able to communicate regularly. Like, some people will say, oh, you know, how do you smoke pot? How do you even communicate? Well, okay, I guess if you smoke weed and you get a tolerance to it, okay, it's not so hard. But if you're sitting there and you've been tripping on acid for like a month straight because you got a brain chip in your head, that's like a different story. It's like, oh yeah, I'm now just on acid all day. I'm microdosing, as they call it. What do you think, Alex?
Well, let's be clear. So I'm watching the show in there, and you're absolutely right. We're not just saying, oh, look at their pupils. They're under lights. They're 90% dilated. They are on something hardcore. And like you said, if someone took LSD to get even close to that, or huge rails of meth, they'd be in bed for days after. And all the videos and all the photos, these guys are, this is the issue. This is the secret to what is going on, folks. This is it. Because I showed the photo in the video. I took a photo of myself under lights, not even this intense, and there were pinpoints. I mean, if a cop pulled you over like this, they would know you were on a hallucinogen or a serious, super hardcore amphetamine. And these guys are all like this. And I watch live videos of them. They're all like this all the time.
And it's not like this is something, a prescription. I've never seen a prescription drug. You know, you could say, oh, maybe they're on Xanax or something. No, I've never seen a prescription drug cause your pupils to dilate like that.
Let's be clear. It's admitted that Silicon Valley is taking peyote, psilocybin mushrooms, LSD, drips of DMT every day. So a drug cult runs and controls our media. I mean, are we any surprise that they're totally whacked out?
And
they're
what's the big deal?
Doing this for their god.
And what's the secret? Why do they want to be on the acid or the micro dose of mushrooms or DMT all day? What is it? Oh, exactly.
Mm. They've got to fry out their programming God gave them to get in contact with old Forktail.
This is ancient stuff too, folks. Ancient Illuminati ancient secrets.
Magicians took hallucinogens every day.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment of the War Room today. We're going to take your phone calls, Shannon, Torrance, Zach, and Will. That's all I'm going to have time for. I want to remind everybody, specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Last day to get 50% off DNA Force Plus. And I've also announced the next InfoWars Army event here in Austin, November 10th. We're going to do a flag lay at the State Cemetery here in Austin, Texas, and then a flag wave at noon on November 10th at a busy bridge in Austin. We're going to announce the exact bridge later, and we're going to wave American flags as a sign of camaraderie and patriotism over Veterans Day weekend. So that's November 10th. Hope to see you there. And of course, with coupon code WARROOM at checkout, you can get 15% off all shower filters at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's clear out these phone lines. Let's go to Zach in Kentucky. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Owen. I just wanted to hit on a couple things that happened to me while I was in the Army. Whenever I was in the Army, I went in 2012, went to basic, went through basic, no problem. You know, got a bunch of shots at the beginning of basic, no issue. Last week at basic, they load us back up, send us back to where we started, gave us a bunch more shots. I wake up the next day with a migraine that I've had for 7 years. And
I've been fighting with the VA ever since. Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories with the Army vaccines. You said you've had a migraine for 7 years?
Same one. Every single day, no treatment, no nothing. Nothing touches it. Mm. And I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I'm still fighting with the VA, just trying to deal with it. And I just thought I'd let everybody know what's going on out there.
Yeah, I've heard stories. I know that, I mean, once you sign up, they got like 30 needles just waiting for you, and that's sad. I don't know if have you been able to contact anybody else that experienced similar side effects?
There's been a few, but it's just kind of hard to find anything, you know, in anybody for that matter, because you know they kind of try and keep it under wraps,
right? And they don't want to admit that it's their fault, so they'll never compensate.
I'm medically retired. I got out in 14 months. I was supposed to be in there 20 years. I got out 14 months. Hmm. They medically retired me. I get compensation, but they're trying to take that away because they don't think I'm doing anything. But I can't get up and go to the doctor, drive an hour every single day, every time I have a migraine.
Well, God bless you, Zach. I wish there was an answer for you. And I know that there's many that have suffered similar things, maybe not migraines every day, but man, they get those vaccines and there's just nothing you can do. Once they go in, the effects are permanent. And it's just sad that that's what you have to do to be in the military these days. But that's just the case. Thank you so much for the call, Zach. Let's go to Will in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Will. Yes, go ahead, Will.
Hey, Owen, I just wanted to touch on the what you were talking about earlier about the Vatican stuff and the Area 51. You mentioned about them possibly, like, using this kind of thing to censor social media and, like, how people organized, and I thought that was a good point. And I thought that also people just made me think of, like, how people need to kind of organize in more, like, secure ways and like the days ahead and like not necessarily rely on these social media platforms to necessarily be dependent on those for those.
Well, and you know what I realized too? It's kind of the same thing where it's like, okay, most people can't even do math anymore. They have a calculator. Most people can't even read a map anymore. They have their app. Most people can't even write legibly anymore. They type. Well, the same thing has happened with basic communication and organization skills. It's all done digitally, and once you take it away, people really don't know what to do. They don't know how to organize. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to do it. So it's the same thing as we atrophy all of these human abilities because we rely on a digital platform that, as you said, can be ripped away from us at any time. So, yeah, it's almost like go out. Remember how to do math. Go out, remember how to read a map. Go out, remember how to write legibly. Go out and just remember how to organize without social media. I don't think people know what to do. And I kind of realized it as I'm sitting here watching social media activists, you know, do things and organize. And yes, it has a success. But yeah, like you said, well, what do you do when it's gone? How do you organize? What do you do? Most people have no idea. Most people don't go to church anymore. A lot of people are homeschooling their kids now because it's so out of control. So what do you do? It's a tough obstacle. And I think, unfortunately, that social media, much like the calculator, much like the typewriter, much like a map app, is atrophying humans' ability to communicate and organize so much so that younger generations literally don't even know how to do it, is what I'm afraid. And I don't know if there's a solution for this or if this is just the future now, but That's what I'm seeing. And I just see it. You look at what's going on in Hong Kong. China is now threatening, saying basically, I mean, I don't know what we're gonna, you could see almost another Tiananmen Square situation happening with these Hong Kong protests. And China's basically saying, yeah, we're gonna mow them down if they don't stop. So what do the people in China do if they censor the social media like they're doing? Well, they're just going out and just activating on the street. They've got nothing else to do. So maybe desperation is what flips that switch. Thanks for the call, Will. Let's go to Torrance in Virginia. Go ahead, Torrance.
Hey, Owen, it's Terrence, by the way.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if he came across it, but Epstein is still happens to be in the same prison as El Chapo, and somehow Paul Manafort is in the mix. Paul Manafort, I said after he was incarcerated, short time after he was he attended suicide, but El Chapo is unharmed, and El Chapo has just as much dirt as Epstein does.
Well, I would disagree with you on that. I don't think El Chapo has near as much dirt as Epstein does. I mean, yeah, what, maybe there's people that do drugs in Congress or something like that, but I mean, Epstein, we're talking about pedophile island, man. We're talking about child sex trafficking. Just people being aware of that and not reporting that is more dirt than I don't care if anybody in Congress is doing cocaine, quite frankly. So, yeah, I would just disagree with that. But as far as the, I'm not sure the significance of Epstein and El Chapo being in the same prison other than Epstein is the one that was found nearly dead in his cell. I think there's more interest in people in Epstein dying in prison. And there's, I mean, El Chapo, if anything, people are going to bust him out of there. I mean, didn't he already get busted out once? So, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to wait and see what happens with this Epstein deal. If he cooperates, the whole house of cards fails. I don't think society's ready to know how deep these pedophile networks run. I really don't think society is ready to it. I mean, they can't even accept, I mean, they believe Obama was a scandal-free president. So how can they handle the fact that you have massive sex rings being run by some of the most elite people in society? Of course, they know that's going on in their deep consciousness. They just aren't strong enough to face it in reality. Thanks for the call, Torrance. Shannon in Texas, last caller. Go ahead.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Owen.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got a plug for real quick. I spend about $200 a month in the store, and one time you asked me if it was worth it, and yes, it's worth it because, you know, that money at Walmart's not going to fight the globalists, or HEB's not going to fight the globalists, Amazon's not going to fight the globalists, but you guys are doing a good job, and I believe that you're waking a lot of people up because I talk to a lot of people, especially when I wear my InfoWars gear, and they come up to me and say, man, I listen to Alex Jones, and I really, really love his show. And the thing I want to plug is the deodorant, the Emmerich's Essential Deodorant. I've tried all kinds of different natural deodorant, and that's been the best I've found so far.
You know, it has a really natural scent too, kind of like you're in the forest.
Yeah, it's strong enough for a man and made for a man.
Well, I'm glad that you like the deodorant. That's one of the household items. It's 50% off right now. Emmerich's Essentials natural deodorant. Shannon, I've got 10 seconds. You had a comment on the inner cities.
Yeah, you think about the rat spread disease, and that's what they're looking for, you know. They want to spread that disease. That's why all these people in with diseases.
Oh, yeah, the rats are known for spreading disease. That's historical. Good point, Shannon. Well, and the rats occupy the Democrat-run cities, just like a disease. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.